That was a great reading. I love that. That was nice. It must be in that blue book.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm Bill. I'm a drug addict.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill.
And I have a spiritual malady as well. That it comes up to me every morning I wake up, you know. I got this old book here. Check this out. It's old school. It is number 3 in the line. And I got it in 1990 in a treatment center. And I'm thinking that's like 32 years. It's been a long time since I got this book. But I've got like 4 years and some change. You know, that's what I got now. Which is good. You know, I had to go out and experiment and have some good times, I thought. And, you know, maybe didn't follow the suggestions like it's detailed in this book, you know. In fact, I guarantee I didn't. I know there were some of them I didn't like the looks of at all, you know. You know, I got a little pink and spooky about the third step, and that was enough, you know. And that lasted me about 3 months, and that was it. So Henry calls me up and says, Bill, would you like to be on a panel for DAA? And I'm like, okay. I said, what is the panel? He says, emotional sobriety. I'm like, oh, man, you might want to pick somebody else for that. I mean, I've been Googling emotions all morning. You know, as a matter of fact, the last treatment center I was on, they had that thing on the wall that showed your emotions and shit. I didn't know any of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew depression and crazy. You know, those were my two main go-tos. You know? So, you know, I've been thinking about this, emotional sobriety. I know what sobriety is. I am sober, you know. I've recovered, there's no doubt. Not something that I did. God did it in spite of me, really. So I get what that is. And then I considered, how have I been in the last 4 years and some change? How has my life been? How have I related to others? You know, I think the people you should really ask if I'm emotionally sober is my loved ones. Mm-hmm. The people I work with, my family, my friends, you know. Because I don't really think I am, but I think I am a little bit. I shouldn't say that. But those are the people that would know, you know. If I compare how I lived and how I reacted, you know, even before and during this journey I'm on, you know, it's changed, you know. I've actually been accused of having no emotion at one time. And I thought to myself, no, I have emotion. I know what hurt is. I know what sad is. I know what miss is. I know what grief is. But I don't wig the fuck out. You know what I mean? Because you know why? Because I'm plugged in right now. I got this higher power. I nickname it God, you know. And when God covers my back, I'm good. You know, when he doesn't cover my back, which means when I don't allow him to cover my back, when my self-will comes back and I think I know everything, I am not emotionally sober one bit, you know. I can be whacked out and freaked out and cry and, you know what I mean? And crying is good sometimes. I like to cry some days, you know. Tell you what, I don't know what emotion this was, but when Chris Raymer spoke, and I've seen him a couple of times, and I listened to him on YouTube, you know, I love the dude, you know what I mean? But I had this feeling of warmth inside me. And I had a little bit of tear in my eye. And I just felt good, you know. And I don't know what that is exactly, but I liked it. You know, I liked that feeling. I think what, you know, he says what I try to live. But we all probably try to live. I mean, you wouldn't be in with a bunch of big book thumpers if you weren't into it, right? Because that's what DAA is, right? I mean, it's the words. It's every word and every paragraph from the beginning to the end, you know. So, yeah, I like that feeling. You know, and I see a lot of people out here that I really love. I love everyone, you know, but some I super love, you know. Probably because I know them, they put up with me, you know. But, yeah, I guess, you know, and then I considered, well, is emotional sobriety similar to humility? The second I think I got that is the second I don't, you know, and I think for me it kind of is. Because I really don't have anything, you know, I've got a little bit of a intervention moment right now that I'm hoping God is running through me, and I know he is. and I'm sober. You know, that's not my normal strategy. You know, I'm a junkie. You know what I mean? That's just not how I roll. But somehow I've had a blessing that from God and from people like you in this book that I'm able to do this, you know. So I think my emotional sobriety stage started when I first heard people like Chris and like you guys speak at a meeting while I was in treatment, jonesing and detoxing and sick and couldn't sleep like a bitch, you know what I mean? And that word hope, I heard it. They brought meetings in, right? And I, like I said, I've been dealing with this for 30-some years. Hell, even before that, my first meeting when I was 5 years old, it was in my kitchen. And there's a bunch of people with my mom, you know what I mean? I didn't know it was an AA meeting at the time, but now I know it was, you know? So I've been associated with alcoholism and drug addiction for a long time. Either I'm using it or I'm recovering from it, you know? So yeah, my first time out there, what is this?
It's just recording.
Oh, that's nice.
Be on team.
Should I watch my vulgarity? I can't. So that hope message that I heard, and somebody said the fourth dimension, and I was kind of like rolling my eyes on that. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, are you talking like when I eat peyote? I mean, I've been there, you know? But it was enough to pique my interest. And I'd heard this for years, you know, and I wanted this. You know, I really wanted this. I didn't want to live like I did. Good times are gone, right? You know, it's like a sludge movement. It sucks. I think that's when it started. Not that I had any emotions, but freaked out at the time. But as I progressed through this book, as somebody took me by the hand like a two-year-old, word for word, this thing. And Chris, I love you, man, but we do it word for word. You know what I mean? That's how we do it. And everybody, there's no right or wrong way. It is, but that's how we do it. You know, I'm so grateful that that's how I was taken through. And that's how I take other guys through. Because the feeling, that's where I get this from. You know what I mean? Would I have found God in any other method besides this exact process? I don't think so. You know, I really don't. And I know some people can, and that's great, man. However you find God is right. But first I had to see who the hell I really was. You know, a self-centered prick, you know. Full of fear, you know. And you'd have never told me that before. I'd have taken a baseball bat on you. I am fearless, you know. I was riddled with fear, you know, come to find out. I had to go through that whole thing. Every step, every stage, every feeling. You know, and somebody said, you'll find God at the third step. And I didn't, man. You know what I mean? It's like, now I know that, hell, of course you're not gonna. You know what I mean? I started to believe there might be one, you know, possibly. I'm not going to guarantee it, you know, but it's possible. I'm willing to believe there might be something out there, you know, and that's all I needed, you know. That's all I needed. And then as I progressed to find out who the hell I am, what makes me tick, you know, I'm sick as fuck, you know, is that what makes me tick? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But as I peeled through the fourth step and the fifth step, I kind of saw who I was. And that it wasn't a pretty picture. You know, I was willing to let something come in to help me, to rearrange my thinking, you know. Man, if anybody needed to be brainwashed, yes. Brainwashing is not a bad term to me. It's like, I'm grateful for it, you know. I don't want to think like I used to. My perception has changed looking at people. My daily activities at the friggin' gas station in the morning is different, you know. Very seldom do I get pissed at the old lady that's, or whoever it is in front of me, fiddle frickin' around with lottery tickets, you know? So I'm a little pissed, but, you know. Life has changed, and I'm forever grateful for that. So as I'm progressing through these steps with someone, things are changing. Sparks are firing, and some sparks are going down, you know? I'm starting to believe things that I never thought possible to believe. You know, I mean, the first major thing was, I don't want to get high. You know what I mean? Yeah, peace. Yeah, yeah. Everything's good, Henry. I don't want to get high. Where did that go? You know, where did that go? You know what I mean? it's like, wow, maybe there is something out there, you know, because all the times that I tried to do that, which believe me, like everyone else, we all tried to not do this, right, to not get fucked up, to stop killing myself. Somehow that was removed, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that it was removed due to this process. You know, there is no doubt in my mind, because every other time shrinks, Suboxone, methadone, I didn't get, none of it got removed. You know what I mean? I could chill out and I could live with you, kind of, you know what I mean? But nothing had changed in my life, you know? So I was real grateful for this. As I'm progressing, as I'm seeking, really, because that was a big thing. People told me, seek God, you know, and I kept seeing things differently. I kept feeling differently. The obsession's removed. The insanity's removed. I'm starting to be a better human being, you know? And I like that too. That gives me a warm feeling, you know? I really do. I love that feeling. I'm checking it out. And then the biggest thing that happened to me, and I'm gonna get to emotional sobriety, all right? You know what's cool? When I first met these two nice ladies, they were so chill and I'm ready to shit my pants, you know what I mean? So thank you for calming me down. You know? So yeah. Oh, you guys, I'm telling you, you know. So as I'm going through this, feeling differently, feeling warm and caring, I'm introduced to helping others, you know. And I mean, helping others in many ways is good. Any way I can help others. I go to work. I don't go to work to make money. I don't go to work to do anything but try to be of service, you know, and that makes me want to go to work, you know, for an example. Then I start sponsoring guys, you know. It's like, wow. Some real shit changes happened then, man. I mean, it just, you know, and not that I knew or tried to do, some things changed inside my life, you know, that I started caring more about others than I care for myself. That's not me either, you know. That's not me either. That's a God thing, you know. And I just loved it, you know. So when I look at myself today, how do I handle situations in life? Comparatively speaking, I think much better, you know. I think my emotions are not on a roller coaster so much. They're more like this now. You know, my life is like this. It's not the peak and valley thing. And it's not the boring goofiness that I thought this would be. You know, this is okay. You know, this is okay. This is a good way to live. It's a good way to, I like being a human being in society, you know. I wasn't that before. You know, it's nice to be that. It's nice to be one among you. You know, not try to be better, not being worse, because that was usually my case that I thought, you know. So, yeah, it's nice to join the club of humanity. And it's really nice to join the club of recovering people, you know. We have a common bond. Theoretically, we have a common solution, you know. I know with my people, I have a great common solution. I think all the time, if I didn't have the crew that I had, how life would be different. I wouldn't want to experience it. I really wouldn't. I've been so fortunate from the time I got washed into that weird-ass treatment place. Why I washed up there, I don't know. It was a God thing, because I've been to four or five of them before, and I escaped every one of them, you know. I stayed there. I was introduced to some people that were solid, some people that lived this, and this was it, you know. This was straight up how to do it, and I bought it, and I'm still buying it. And I'm still seeking God. So I don't know. I guess I'm going to kind of wrap this up. Hopefully I'm not too early. I don't like to blow too much smoke up anybody's ass. But I really think there's some friends here that if you guys want to see if I'm emotionally sober, and I'm going to ask them too. I want you to ask them what they think. Because I'm not really sure. You know, I know that when I rely on God, everything is cool. You know, every operation of my life is cool. You know, that's the magic ingredient in my life. You know, and it is magic. You know, to me, it's magic. You know, I don't know how it works, why it works, nothing. I just know I plug into the source and I'm mellow, you know, and life is good and I treat people good. You know, so like I said, I am so fortunate to Henry. Thank you. Thank you. I should have probably been on the sex, drugs, and rock and roll panel. But thank you. And I thank all of you, and I love you also. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Now I'd like to welcome up Jamie S.
Hey y'all, I'm Jamie. I'm a drug addict.
Hey Jamie.
I just realized I said y'all. I'm from Georgia. And then I got to learn much more about Wisconsin because of learning where they live. Oshkosh, which I didn't even know was a place, which is incredible. But thank you so much, Bill. He texted yesterday, and I'm going to rat you out, but he said, I think Colin had texted us and telling us to be here like 15 minutes early, and his response, which I don't know who anybody is on this group text, right? And he goes, well, hopefully I'm emotionally sober by then. And I have never related to anything more. I ended up registering for this conference because the committee had asked my fiance to speak, and she speaks for 30 minutes tonight and then tomorrow as well. And y'all, I've been following this woman around for almost 6 years. Like, absolutely obsessed with her. She's got such a strong message. It's Lindsay M., by the way. So you will hear her tonight. But extremely powerful woman and has been so helpful to me in so many ways. She probably has no idea. But I was like, oh, you know, I mean, I'm going. I should, you know, offer to be of service in any way that I can. And they're like, oh, you speak on a panel. And I'm like, sure. They're like, emotional sobriety panel. And I was like, like, do you know who I am? We were watching a stand-up comedian, if you like, on TikTok, actually, and I sent it to Lindsay because she's a gay woman, and she's like, you know, I'm like my emotional range is like a box of crayons, right? And she's like, I am the 64-pack of Crayola, right? With the sharpener on the side, like everybody's in mint condition. And she was like, my partner is the 3-pack you get from a restaurant. And like, there's happy, sad, and broken. And I sent it to her, and I was like, guess who I am? Because I really do. It's sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly with this shit, and I've been at it for a long time. My sobriety date is May 16th, 2011. I was first introduced... Oh! Thanks, guys! Just decided to join the land of the living a little bit. But I first got introduced to the program in 2010. I had several sobriety dates in 2010. I had several sobriety dates in 2011, and then... I actually tried to commit suicide, and that was when the universe saw fit, you know. Spirit separated me, and I'm forever grateful for that. And I had no idea what I was doing, you know. It wasn't, I love what both speakers had to say from the podium, absolutely incredible. But I related so much in just this absolutely hopeless condition, right? And the fact that it's a disease and I don't know that I'm suffering from it, right? Like I feel like I could understand when I was going through withdrawals, I could understand when I got a cold, I could understand when you got the stomach virus, it's pretty fucking obvious, you know what I mean? But I really didn't understand alcoholism. I had no idea what that meant. I was 19 years old when I got sober. I had only got to experience heroin and crack for 4 years, you know? So I was like, there's no way that this is time, right? And there's no way that it's supposed to look like this. Like, I didn't fit this mold that I thought I needed to fit. And honestly, looking around the rooms of AA, I didn't fit in there either. I really love what Chris said about, like, trying to sit down with a crackhead, because I'm like, I get that. Plenty of alcoholic women with 20, 30 years sober tried to sit with me, and they're like, you did what? What were you doing with that toilet water? Why were, you know, why is this happening? I have algae growing in the inside of my body. But I don't know. I'm just so grateful for the various teachers and the direction that it led me. I spent 2 years in a treatment center. I got out and was thrust, like, let go, just loose into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I would speak from the podium about heroin addiction, and people in AA were like, what is going on here? I had no idea about the traditions, the concepts, nothing. And the one thing I can say is that, like, I think it all lines out exactly how it's supposed to be. So I think it was around 3.5, 4 years sober. I had gone back to college. I'm getting my degree. I'm suffering immensely, and I have no idea why. I was working with someone who's taking me directly through the big book, word for word, line by line, really investigating my experience, thorough four steps. I had worked the steps a couple of times at this point. And I was standing on top of one of the buildings in downtown where I went to school, and I'm smoking a cigarette, and I could not stop thinking about jumping off this fucking building. And I couldn't make sense of it. I didn't understand why I felt that way. Had no idea, you know, and looking back, it's all 2020, which is, it is what it is. But fast forward a couple of years, I'm at 6 years sober. I'm like, am I even a heroin addict? I don't know if this is real. What is alcoholism? Go seek out a new experience, continue to do this stuff, right? So I find new teachers each time. And then at year eight, again, the same thing, where I'm just coming up against it again and again and again. And like I said, I think there's a reason for all of that, right? Like I don't know that at 90 days sober, sitting in treatment, that I would have been able to look at a lot of the stuff that I'm up against. I needed to continue to go through this process, right? Like I needed to continue to have awakenings through the 12-step process in order to get to a point in which I could actually see some of the underlying darkness. And I'm really grateful for all of the experiences, because I mean, between year eight and nine, I'm in this beautiful romantic relationship. I finally found partnership, right? I'm engaged to be married. Everything is going, from the outside looking in, amazing. I graduated from law school. I was a practicing attorney in the midst of a pandemic. Like, what the fuck's going on? Everything looks fine, right? But I'm like this close to shaving my head. And like this close to just running as far away from my relationship as possible. I'm like trying to go for certain federal jobs that I am not qualified for. I had applied to the FBI, which now that that process is over, I can actually talk about it, which is great. But I'm like going to all these really cool things, and I'm like in front of it, like a panel of agents, and I'm like, yeah, so I did a lot of heroin. And they're like, excuse me? And they have like all these drug policies I didn't know about, and so they're just like, get the fuck out of here. So it's like all these things, right? Like these teachers, I'm like going to law school, become a lawyer, get in the relationship, do all the things. I don't know if that's a holy trinity or not. It was to me. Like I really felt like, okay, like this is what it's all about. I just got to chase the next thing. And what's absolutely fascinating is that none of those things cured what's going on here, you know? And I don't know, I've spent the last like year and a half in in-depth trauma work, really gross things, inner child, you know, like getting handed the fucking feelings wheel. And you're just like, I don't know, like, where's the sad category, you know? And they've got like 147 different emotions on this fucking feelings wheel. And there's people that are like, I'm sitting in this, my fiance takes a big book study to an actual treatment center on Tuesdays, and I filled in for her, and they hand me this fucking feelings wheel, and they'd already gone around the room, and these are people all with like up to 2 years sober, and they'd all picked their feeling, and I was like, annoyed, like frustrated, you know? So I guess I say all of this to say that I've never truly felt like emotionally sober. But I think that's the most incredible thing about the process itself, is that it's going to continue to kind of, what is it? They say like, I don't know, the layers of the onion, right? Like we're just onions, which I find gross. But I've got to continue to peel away. And that's been my experience, is that I've continued to come up against these things that I feel like I should not be coming up against, right? And it's all riddled with self. That's all that it is, you know? And I've tried the depression route. Every psychiatrist will agree with me that I am depressed, right? They will all agree with me that I have panic disorders, that I've got all of this shit. And I can walk around a human fucking zombie. I really can, you know? I've done the Prozac gig sober. They just gave me a litany of things that I could, you know, fucking take. And not to say that I'm against medication or anything along those lines, but they're supposed to serve a purpose, right? Like everything that I'm being given in terms of any kind of outside help, therapists, other 12-step programs, they're also supposed to help me on this mission to find God, right? Like, I'm supposed to be made whole. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible thing, I think, through 12-step work that we're able to get there. So, I mean, I think I'm, am I close? Or?
Yeah, you're at 10 minutes.
Oh, 10. Incredible. That's like 5 more minutes. Awesome. So, yeah, I say all of that because you're going to, in my experience, I've continued to be led in the right direction, right? And there will be, like, I really loved the roller coaster analogy because actually a psychiatrist told me that's what I was experiencing. He was like, you're like this. And I was like, yeah, no, that's about it. That's exactly how I'm feeling. And then even, I don't think Stevie B's in here, but even last night when Stevie was talking, my favorite moment was when he was like, I'm sitting across from her at dinner and I'm doing this mental illness thing. And I was like, I've been doing this mental illness thing for like 11 years. So it's amazing. Cause I guess what it really comes down to is that what I'm able to do through 12-step work, and I tend to go back through every year to year and a half. It kind of rolls around. Sometimes it's like 9 months if I'm feeling really, really weird. But even this past time through, I think the best part is I made this analogy a couple of weeks ago when I spoke down in Atlanta. And because I was thinking about it, I'm like, I'm a fucking attorney, right? So we have to do continued legal education. Every year you've got to go back and you need a refresher, right? Like, I don't want an attorney. I'm not going to hire an attorney if I've got like, I don't know, several federal criminal charges against me who does not do continued legal education. That would be scary. It's like, okay, you're like going off of what you learned in law school 25 years ago. That's horrifying. Same thing with doctors, right? Like, it would be really weird if a doctor didn't do his continuing education. I don't want him cutting into my back if he doesn't know what's going on now, right? He's relying on med school 32 years ago. So I say all of that because I truly do believe I need refreshers on this shit, right? And I need refreshers from people who have more experience than me, or have more experience in other areas of life than me. There was another thing that I love that Chris said, where we're talking about, like, we're just talking out of our asses. Like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about your own legitimate experiences, or are you just, like, making things up? I was telling Nate before I got up here, one of my favorite things that they did to me in law school is if you provide an answer, they'll say, where are you reading from? That is such a great question. And the amount of smart aleck children that go to law school, because I was like a little bit older than everybody else, and I'm looking around the room, and they all just came straight from undergrad into law school. And I'm like having a hard time relating to them and whatever, and I would like love those moments when a professor would be like, yes, so Andrew, where are you reading from, right? Because he's just making things up as he goes along. So I love that concept, right, is that I'm able to continue to have actual experiences and continue to grow that way. I'm just very, very grateful for it, because what this process does for me is it actually puts me face to face with me. Because up in here, like, I have no idea what's going on. It's extremely dysmorphic. Like, the way I view the world is extremely dysmorphic. Not connected to God, not going through this process, not actively participating, prayer, meditation, inventory work. And not to say that those things are going to, I don't know, like, the check boxes aren't going to alleviate what I'm up against, right? Like, it's going to be a spiritual experience that alleviates me from that, right? But those check boxes are so fucking important because they allow me to actually see what's going on, right? Like, that I can see that I'm an emotional terrorist at 10 years sober, right? That I can see that I am highly abusive emotionally, right? I don't even mean to do any of those things. That's not my intention. I only want to be loved. I only want to be taken care of. So I think it's an incredible thing to continue to be able to sit back and kind of watch, right? I think of like 10-step work when I think of watching, like just watching what the fuck I'm doing. Love that you said, like, if you want to know if you're emotionally sober, ask your friends, and your loved ones, because I do believe that the answer would be definitely more so than last year for me today. And I'm so grateful for that. So The process really does like kind of unveil this whole thing. And I did want to bring up, I'm going to go over time just a little bit, but when we said emotional sobriety, I got really freaked out because I was like, where the fuck does that even come from, right? It's not in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I don't speak to any, I'm even a little weird about the 12 and 12, y'all. So I was like, it's not in the big book. Where does this come from? So I was actually also Googling emotional sobriety, and I found a grapevine from Bill Wilson in 1958 about emotional sobriety. And essentially what he's talking about is the disease, right? The selfishness, the self-centeredness that covers me all up, and the work that we need to do in order to actually have that fall, right? And it really does, like placing myself in a position in which I can be of maximum effectiveness, right? So that I can be useful to other people. It's going to take some rearranging to get that to work. So I think that's all I've got, but the grapevine is a great article. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Now I'd like to welcome up Madison, Wisconsin native, Marissa S.
Hi, I'm Marissa. I'm an addict.
Hey, Marissa.
I am really, really happy to be here. It's an honor. It's an honor to be of service anywhere, at any level. So this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you both for sharing before me. That was awesome. I think it's really important to talk about how good our lives get in recovery and sobriety, being recovered. But I also think it's really important to talk about the pain that we get in when we're sober too, and that's what I want to share a little bit about is just my recent experience. Some of all of my experience, but I recently hit an emotional bottom, and I didn't even know that it was coming. Mm-hmm. I knew that I had been in pain for a long time, but the thing is, like, I can have faith but keep God out of my life, and I wasn't letting God into an area of my life that I needed God the most. And I'm an addict, so guess what? I trick myself, right? Like, am I maintaining my spiritual condition? Hell yeah, I'm going to meetings. Meetings aren't helping. That we talked about that this morning. It's true. Like, I'm going to meetings. Wonderful. Great. That's not doing shit. So what is? What is? I'm sharing at meetings. I'm hearing things. No, I'm praying. I'm meditating. I'm talking to my sponsor. I'm working on my relationship with my higher power. And I'm praying for this area of my life, right? I'm praying about it. I'm asking for specific guidance. I'm being of service. I'm being useful. And I trick myself, right? I get answers and I turn them into something else, because I manipulate so that things will work for me. I didn't bring my big book, but I have this nice little piece of paper here, and on it is a quote from that wonderful article, because I was doing the same thing. I'm like, and there's a bit in the 12 and 12 from step 12 that Bill Wilson writes about, but that grapevine article is great, and Bill Wilson kind of describes, I think, like, his version of what emotional sobriety is, I'll read this and I'll tell you how to translate a right mental conviction into a right emotional result. This is not only the neurotic's problem, it's the problem of life itself for all of us who have got to the point of real willingness to hew to right principles in all of our affairs. And to me, I had to think about that a little bit. And to me, that's just like, that's aligning my thoughts with my actions. The big book does talk about, like, handling our emotional natures, and that was something I certainly couldn't do, and I like that, you talked about these, like happy, sad, broken, right? when you get asked, like, what are the first emotions that, like, come to mind, right? Happy, sad, mad, I don't know, that's what, there's, like, these umbrella terms. Well, I've got one umbrella, and it's fucked up, and it's like, so through emotional intelligence, like, I'm learning how to become more emotionally mature and more emotionally mature. And really, that to me is like what I'm working on right now after this, like, emotions used to be a single distressing experience, right? It's like, I can't figure, I don't know how to communicate it, how to express it. It's just this awful feeling. And, you know, and I coped by using drugs and alcohol. You know, that's how I dealt with anything I was feeling. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. And so I think that, like, you know, so through emotional intelligence, I'm learning to become more emotionally mature. And in that article, he does talk about, you know, growing up spiritually and emotionally. And I think what I'm learning right now is, like, I'm learning to speak the language of the heart. And part of that is, like, those umbrella terms, like, what's under those umbrellas, right? Because I'm going to respond differently if I actually understand what I'm feeling. Mm. Anger is the dubious luxury of normal men, right? Like, the grouch and the brainstorm weren't for us. We're going to recover. We need to be free of anger. So I was like, am I mad? Yeah, I'm mad. No, actually, I'm just disappointed. And my response is not going to be the same as if I'm actually feeling really hurt or mad, right? Like, it's gonna be a little more down here, you know? Because I am not, you know, and so I lost my train of thought. So I think that it's just those little idiosyncrasies, you know, that I'm really just trying to bring into, you know, we have to bring these things into our recovery. Like, I'm in a constant state of healing, constant, you know, and now it's even more intense. Now I'm like, anything that's healing, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna be on this panel, it's gonna be so healing. I'm going to this conference, it's gonna be so healing, you know, like, I'm lunch with my friends, it's gonna be so healing, you know, and it feels really good. And I'm doing a lot of reading and I'm really learning things. And I'm like working on that, you know, the maintenance of my spiritual condition, because is that directly related to my emotional sobriety? For sure. I really feel that it is for me. I'm just not as emotionally volatile if I am doing the work, you know, or emotionally manipulative or abusive, like you said, you know. And I have a lot more compassion, I think, for people in my life that I feel like are abusing me emotionally or manipulating me, because, like, I've done it, you know. I've done it to people. And I don't know, that's all I really have to share. You guys were awesome. You said so much, and I'm happy to be here. And yeah, thanks for having me.